And today just happened to me to be my anniversary. Kelly. So it's easy to remember our anniversary. Why? Because we get married in the year of 2000. So this year is 2018. So I know we've been married for 18 years. All right? So before we get married, we had a fight. It's not a big fight. It's a small fight. Christian always has a small fight. Small fight is allowable, right? Somebody don't agree. Anyway, we had a fight. Why did we have a fight? Because we don't know where we should live. Because I already immigrated to Canada here. And then her home still in Taiwan. So Canada, Taiwan, Canada, Taiwan. She said, Taiwan is better. I said, Canada is a lot better. A lot bigger. Right? So we had an argument. But good thing is we are Christians. So we pray, God, where should we live? And God didn't favor me. I thought I am the man. I am the speaker of the house. Hey, she should submit to Jesus. Through me. I should have a portion of it. Okay. And then she says, okay, what did you hear? I said, I didn't hear anything. And I asked her, did you hear anything? She said, no, I didn't. She didn't. Okay, I hope she can come to Canada with me and we can live in Canada happily ever after, whatever. And then she didn't hear. So at that time, I studied in the U.S. and I stayed in the U.S. And she, because after study, she went back to Taiwan to live for 2 years. In 2 years, I was just praying and thinking and confirming. And finally, I seems to hear something from God. Praise God. I seem to hear that I am supposed to get married with her in the U.S. See, God is fair. Not Canada, not Taiwan, but in the middle land. U.S. Okay. Okay. Because I found a church. A small church, but a lovely church. Just like us. But we are a lot bigger. At that time, the church I found in the U.S., in California, it was only about 20-some people, in which I feel comfortable. And I felt in the midst of our church worship, I felt that I am supposed to stay in the U.S. from now on. And she's supposed to come over to my command and to my plan. And when I call her up in Taiwan, she said, nope, not going to happen. Uh-oh. Man, husband, when you hear from God, but your wife say, no, not going to happen, what do you do? What do you do? Call 911. Right? Yes, I didn't call 911. I called God. I was calling on God. God, what happening? She's not responding. And I thought we're supposed to get married in U.S. What should I do? And God said, keep pressing in. I say, okay. Give me an eloquent the words that she will be persuaded. And, you know, meanwhile, all her family and relatives persuade her to stay in Taiwan. And I thought, this is spiritual warfare going on. And I am the warrior. I am going to win. And I thought, this is not an easy battle. I am not a tough guy. But I thought God is a tough God. And God will break through, break her through, right? So I pray. And of course, we had argument. And she thought, Taiwan, you know, we have, my in-law has reserved a place for us. And I can find a job easily. And I can find a place, maybe not pastoring, but at that time, I wasn't called by God yet. So I thought I can teach at school. And the job is ready. And the place is ready. And then everything should be fine. So I thought this should be, everything should be easy and ready. But she still didn't comply. So she still didn't comply. So we had an argument, and I don't know what to do. And I thought, I heard from God. You know, when you hear something from God and it doesn't going so well, and what do you do? What do you do? Keep praying, right? So that's what I did. I kept praying. It must be something wrong here. And I thought, if something wrong, it must be she was wrong. She is translating for me now. So be sure to translate well. Okay, anyway, so, and then, and I think I mailed to her a CD, a Christian CD. At that time, one of the Christian choir, Chinese Christian choir, it was just formed a new choir. So I mailed her a CD. And I didn't intend to persuade her with the CD, but she listened to the CD, and she feel excited. She feel closer to God. I wasn't sure it was the CD that caused her to respond. I wasn't so sure, but she started responding to God. She started responding. So it's amazing. I can see that it's not by my hand. It's not by my hand. I wanted to persuade her. You know, if you feel that's God's will and you want to persuade somebody else to do these things, it's hard. I was trying, but I failed. And finally, God spoke to her. God spoke to her. And God spoke to her saying, obeying Stephen. Man, husband, yeah. But only one time. I expect only one time that she heard that she should obey Stephen, of course. She's good. So anyway, she heard from God personally that she needs to come over to U.S. So we get married in the U.S. in the year of 2000, September the 30th. Praise the Lord. And then we move back to Canada in the year of 2011. And ever since that time, we are here in RPC. And we are being so, always so excited to be part of RPC. Sorry, not RPC, but RPC. RPC. You love us so much. You give us so much encouragement and support. And we love you so much. Thank you for your loving support and encouragement. A lot of. I can never count it enough that you love us so much. Thank you. So this morning, and I'm going to share the word from Jeremiah 1:4-10. In awe of God's transforming power. We're still in the series of In Awe of God's Power. And next series, Pastor Jim is thinking and praying, thought we can talk about spiritual warfare. So like November, start from November, I believe, November, about 2 months also, before Christmas, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. Since our church, maybe some of you are experiencing the spiritual warfare as well in your spiritual life. So we thought this is a good time for us to talk about spiritual warfare when we finish up this series. Why do I want to talk about this topic here today? Because in this morning I talked to my wife, Kelly. I was thinking about one thing. In my life, and I always think, I have to win somebody else's love. I have to do something because I always think I'm imperfect. I have to work hard to win people's approval and love. I'm not sure if you have this similar thoughts or not, but I do. I always struggle. So it's hard for me to receive Jesus' love. Because Jesus' love is unconditional, faithful, and he chose me, not I chose him. He chose you and me. And with his everlasting love. So Jesus' love ministered to my life all the way. But I cannot receive totally, completely in my heart. So a lot of time I have a struggle. I have struggled because I thought I am imperfect. So imperfect person cannot receive God's love and has a hard time to receive God's love. But when I see Jeremiah example, and I saw God's love on him unconditionally, so I thought you might be interested in today's topic, in awe of God's transforming power. Let's read the scripture together, shall we? The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I form you, that a little bit hidden there, in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. See, we pause a moment. It's not Jeremiah, the prophet, became a prophet. It's only because God chose him. Amen? God chose you. God picked you. Pick you up. So a lot of time we go to the market and pick up the fruit, right? Because you are the one who pick up the fruit. So God is the one who chose you among many thousands of people. He chose you. He loves you. So verse 6, oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, hey, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. So amazing. Amazing. Imperfect Jeremiah. My younger son's name is Jeremiah. So when I read this portion of scripture, I kind of reflect myself, my son, with this portion of scripture. So amazing, really. I read this part, and Jeremiah was inadequate. He said, I'm too young. I cannot do it. So is that the same thing with you? A lot of time, God may call us to do something. I say, no. No, I have limited resources. I am too, what kind of things you might say to God when God call you? I'm scared, yeah, yeah. I'm scared, and what else? Not ready. Not ready. Right? Not ready. A lot of things we can talk to God, but God is not going to meet with us. No, he's not. He just give us his word, affirming us. Before I get married, and then my wife thought I wasn't mature enough. In which I thought I was so mature. Yeah, but she thought I wasn't so mature because we came from different family background, right? We came from different background. And she had to learn to be independent in her family. Her family has a bakery business still now in Taiwan. So several weeks ago, I went back to Taiwan and she was here. And then with my dad and visit my in-law, and they still have a business, but getting smaller. Remember several years they had something going on, they shrink the business. And she had to learn to take care of the business when she was very young. And she had to learn how to close the door and then shut the door when business is closed and open the business door. She has to learn that. And I came from a totally, completely different background. Family background. I was raised in a Christian family. I'm not saying raised in a Christian family is not good. I'm not saying that. Please don't hear me wrong. But I'm just saying that I was raised up in a different background and form a different habits, you may say, from her. And she was that more mature than I was when we get married. So she thought, how can we get married if we both not get along well at that time, okay? A little fight, remember? Little fight. So I thought I was mature enough. So God gave me some chances to exercise myself, and I grow. And by the time before we get married, and I ask God, is it the right time for us to get married? God said, you are right. Even though you are imperfect, but it is right time for you guys to get married. And I asked her to marry me. And she said, yes. So there's nothing perfect, nothing that we cannot be always ready. Amen? We can never ready to take on the task that God has put on you. We can be never ready. Say, no, I should be ready. Right? One of our Mandarin Fellowship sisters, she said, I'm not ready. I don't want to be baptized. I was not ready. And until one day, another sister told her that, hey, we will never be ready. We are imperfect person. Only Jesus is perfect. We will never be perfect because we are not perfect. So we need perfection. That's why we need baptism. And we need to receive him, rely on him even more. So she decided to be baptized eventually. So a lot of people that they are not Christian, but they kind of have a question that when should I become a Christian because I'm not perfect. But the other way around. Amen? The other way around. You become a Christian and God will make you more perfect. Right? So whenever I have this in my mind, I feel so excited because I thought I should be more perfected than for God to love me. Right? I should be more perfect for God to love me. That applied to my marriage. So I thought, I should do something for my wife to love me more. Is that a true statement? No, most of the people so kind to me. That's not true. We are loved by God. And we love each other not because we are perfect, because we are imperfect. So we need each other. Tell your neighbor we need each other. Please. I need you. I need you. Even the least you think the possible person that who can help you, she or he can help you. The least person that you think, you know, God's so humorous. A lot of time, God choose someone in human's eyes is least possible God should choose. Even Jesus. Jesus is not a handsome man. Bible says it. I didn't say it. In Isaiah 53, he's not like me. Not that tall, but looking fine, right? Not perfect. But God chose Joseph. You know, Joseph is like the brother said, Joseph, go to the field and feed the sheep. Man, it's your job. Go, 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 go. You are the least person in our family. Go to feed the sheep. Who else in the Bible who feed the sheep and then is the youngest one? Hey, Chris. Who else in the Bible that is the youngest in the family but feed the sheep, but chosen by God? David. David, yes. David. David, King David. And when Samuel, the prophet that was ready to go to his home, that because the Lord appeared to him and show him this is the family that they should go to, and chose one of the son to anointing him. And Samuel went. Open the door. Oh, the brothers, and they heard that Samuel is coming. Oh, the brother who is, you know, and looking good and standing there. I'm not saying tall and handsome is not good. I'm not saying that. But at that time, Samuel didn't choose the one in man's eyes. So Samuel, at the beginning, he thought the oldest son should be the one. He said, is him? The Lord said, no, it's not him. Okay? The second one, looking good. Is him? No, it's not him. The third one, is it him? No. Is that all? Is that all the son you have? Because the Holy Spirit told me that none of your son is chosen right here. Is there any other son you have? Yeah, we have another son, meh, in the field. What son? What son? He just feed the sheep. He is the youngest one. And he is the shortest guy. He is very young. And he cannot do anything. If you want to annoy him, he is the least person you should think of. He's the least person you should think of. And then call him back. And David come back. You know, when you are out on the field and the sun and the mosquito and the spider and all the things that you, I don't think you will look good before the Samuel. Samuel, when the David came, he probably still smelly, right? And probably mosquitoes still on his face. But the Bible say he showed the power of God in his face. And God say, it's him. Anoint him to be the king. And David says, I just, meh, now I'm the king. I thought, meh is my life, all life. Was Moses the sheep shepherd? Moses the shepherd, he feed the sheep for 40 years. It's the least hour that he can think of God would choose him. And God appeared in the burning bushes. And you should take off your shoes because the ground you stand is the holy ground. I thought I was running away. I ran away from the king, from the Pharaoh, because they're going to kill me because I killed one of the Egyptians. And I thought, here is my comfort zone. I'm going to stay here for all my life. At that time, he was almost 80 years old. Unexpectedly. So God is calling to your life maybe unexpectedly. But God may call you to do something that you least expect. But God is calling you, right? Elevate people. That God is calling you to do something that you cannot expect to say something. So God was calling Moses. God was calling Joseph. God was calling David. It's the least moment that you can think of. It's the least person you can think of. Can we round down to next one, please? Next slide, please. So God chose the foolish. Let's read together. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You know, in Christian has never troubles. Ever since I believe in Christ, I have never any trouble in my life. Somebody just do like this, but so elevate people. I want to ask, ever since you become a Christian, baptized, do you have anything trouble you? Nothing. Nothing ever trouble you. Okay, nobody raise hand. Yeah, that's good. So a lot of time God used difficult times in our life to make us, to keep us hungry to him. So a lot of times that we thought we become a Christian, I should not have anything troubling me anymore. But on the opposite, I become a Christian. Mandarin Fellowship ladies share that ever since I become a Christian, a lot of troubles come my way. And why do I become a Christian? Is that a good question? Yeah, good question. Because what? Because God may make us feel hungry all the time, right? It's not a good answer because nobody. One time I asked a worship leader, one of the worship leader, and also very anointed like Pastor Randy. He said, hey, brother, and his name is David. I said, David, and why do you lead awesome worship all the time? That's probably not the question I should ask, but I asked anyway, because that kind of like a little bit worldly question, but I want to ask what's the secret of have anointing spirit to lead the worship every time. I ask this person, I say, David, what is your secret? What is your secret ingredient in your life? He say, nothing secret, because every time before I was ready to lead the worship and I was troubled in my spirit, so I lead the worship. So God gave me the power to lead the worship, and God bless other people through me. I say, this is not a good answer. This is not a good answer. When you are troubled and you lead a worship, and are you troubling people? But obviously it's not. This is not. He is hungry for God to move. So he says, God, I don't feel good, but I'm ready. I'm empty myself before you to be used by you. Amen? So that's what God is doing in our life. When we have difficult times, praise God, because He still wants to use you. Because He wants to cleanse you, He wants to fill you, and He wants to anoint you with the power of the Holy Spirit to touch other people around you. That's what God is doing. So when we have a difficult time, please don't feel discouraged. God knows what's the best for you and me. God knows what's best for you and me. Again, God knows the best for you and me. Even the moment of your very painful moment, God knows it. God knows it. God is with you. God wants to comfort you. Just like the footprint, the picture of footprint, He wants to go with you. He wants to wipe out your tears. One day, He's coming to us, and we are going to Him. He's wiping off all our tears, and we are with Him forever. That's our hope. His risen power is our hope. Amen? His risen power is our hope. We are more than a conqueror. And He's strengthening us every day, each single day, every moment of our life. He's never, never absent in our life. Never, never absent in our life. Unless we say, God, I fill up with you. I take a break with you. I took a break for 2 years. That wasn't good when I was 20 years old. I took a break, not going to church because I fed up with God. But I had a miserable life without God. I prove it. I think many of you have proved it. Don't want to do it again. Don't do it again. God is our God. He is the one we worship. He has the best plan for you and for me. He has the best. He knows what's the best for you. Say, why? Human nature. Why is it happening on me? Why is this? Why is that? Why is that? Do you ask why question? Is asking why question is a bad question? No, because everybody asks why. I ask why many times in a day. So I ask why? Why this is happening to me? I don't understand. That's what happened to Jeremiah. I'm too young. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. No. No, not me. Maybe Randy, maybe Bill, maybe someone else, maybe Val, maybe Russ, maybe someone else. You know, God called me. When God called me, I always want to tell God that it must be somebody else. Not me. Because, no, look at me. No. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? No, not me. Am I saying something bad? No? Right? Not me. It's Ginger. No, it's Tony. Not me. It's Jennifer. They are more godly people than I do. So it must not be me. And God's affirming voice was on Jeremiah, affirming His love on Jeremiah. So next, please. Do not be afraid of them, because Jeremiah was facing the official, a lot of priests, and he's facing a lot of opposition. So it's not an easy job. I'm not saying it's an easy job. To be a Christian is easy. Some people say yes, some people say no. Yeah, both answer, that's right. To be a Christian sometimes is easy, but sometimes it's not easy because it's a narrow path. We all hold hands to go together in this narrow path. That's why we need to come here and hold hands together and pray together corporately and worship together, because we need each other's strength to worship God, and God is in the midst of us. It's different when you worship at home. I'm not saying you cannot worship at home. Worship at home alone is good, but worship here together corporately to receive God's power and strength in our midst is even better. Because we need each other. We cannot be alone. We cannot be lone ranger. I need you. Even the least of the person that you can think of in the congregation, you need her. You need him. I need you. That's why we get together every Sunday. We come here because we love the Lord and we love each other. That's what RPC is all about. That's what church is all about, is to love each other, to receive God's calling, and receive God's word together as a congregation. So do not be afraid of them. I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Next, please. Get yourself ready. Okay. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Right? So God said, be bold and be strong. Today I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall. See, this is what vivid image that God gave it to Jeremiah. Very vivid image that strengthening Jeremiah's heart. So when we are scared, that's Brother Russell is saying, when we are scared, how do we stay firm? Stand on God's word. Stand on God's word. It's not what we think, but how he thinks of you. How he thinks of us. That's what matters, right? That's strengthening our spirit to stand strong, to stand tall in him. That's what God told Jeremiah. Today, I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. And before I end, I wanted to speak to parents a bit. Because parents, you are faithful. You teach your children. You help your children all year long. But teaching and helping children is not always an easy thing. Sometimes you may be offended because they don't listen and they don't follow your instruction. So there may be a lot of conflicts at home, especially the children in a certain age. I don't want to say what age, but otherwise some of the people will say, why? I'm not rebellious. But in especially children with certain age, they don't mean to. They don't mean to. Just like the prophet Jeremiah, he faced a lot of things against on his way. And Jeremiah is, you know, he needs to take a break a lot of time. So parents, please take courage, be encouraged that Jeremiah faced the same thing. That the children, it's not because they don't listen, it's not because they are against us. Right? It's a human nature. It's a human nature. Because they may not see. Okay, I say it again. They may not see or may not want to see the consequence of their life. Amen? They may not have seen it yet. They may not want to see it yet. It doesn't mean they will not comply. They will. It's in God's hands. God is helping them. And God is giving them abundant life. The enemy come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus came to give us abundant life, including our children. So parents, please, take courage. that we are not alone. We are together. We are praying together to make our children better and better. And they will respond. They will respond. And today we're talking about the prophet Jeremiah. And many of you might hear the calling from God, or you might have a burden in your heart that you want to lay at the altar. I'm just simply wants to call you attention to God's calling. God never says, "I love you because you are perfect." God says, "I love you because I love you." If you have maybe have a burden in your heart, you know, come forward. I want to invite you to come forward and pray at the altar. And there's some people, the board member, and will pray with you as you lay down your burden before God, right? Some of you may not have known Jesus before, that today message, you feel like you have frustration, you have pain in your life, and you wanted to get rid of, or you want to get healed. This morning might be a chance for you to meet him, to accept him into your life, and let him help you. Let him heal you. Let him deal with the things that it's beyond your ability to deal with. Right? So Pastor Randy is going to lead us the song, and then we can pray together.